Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a Victory Tuesday on Grant and Danny, presented by Chenega Myos. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and apply today. There is no opening in Washington at wide receiver one. That spot's taken by Terry McLaurin, and so is our 4 o'clock segment the day after every game. A rare Tuesday with Terry. Normally it's a Monday with McLaurin, joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Terry, Grant, and Danny again. Awesome to have you on the show after yet another win. Oh, ho-hum. Another week, another victory.
Three straight.
No for the biggie. Washington football team. What's up, dude?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're good, but dude. I feel like you're probably really tired. You guys ran so many plays last night. That was unbelievable. Yeah. The offense was on the field for 42 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a good job of the defense keeping them to three and outs, and the offense of really controlling drive. So you're a little worn out, but it feels good because you won.
The dedication to the running game out of the bye the last 3 weeks has been pretty incredible. And it's not like you guys have just run the ball down teams' throats. I mean, you've run it a ton, not always for a lot of yards. Like, Gibby didn't get over 100 until his 27th attempt last night. You mentioned that there was nothing verbalized out of the bye, like we're about to become a running team and that's what we're going to do more. But you obviously see how it's played out in games. What has it done to change things for you guys?
I think just establishing the line of scrimmage has really been huge for us. We have a lot of trust in the guys up front to create those holes and running lanes. And, you know, we have three good backs who have done a good job of being decisive, running the ball. And I think it's been a strength for us. So, I think we got to continue doing that going down the stretch.
There's been a lot of injury and turnover on that offensive line spot all over the line, but really it's center. It's been unbelievable. Keith Ishmael steps in last night after Schweitzer goes down. I thought he handled himself really well. Tell us how hard that is. It really is amazing when next man up happens and you guys don't miss a beat, but that's got to be tough going through all the different centers. How does that affect things, and what have you seen from that group?
Just knowing just from football, it is tough, but like you said, there's always that next man up mentality. But I think it's a testament to the culture they have in the O-line room that there's not going to be a drop-off. It's kind of a standard of play no matter what position on the O-line you're playing, and they're trying to uphold to that standard. So I think when Wes went down, that's tough, just like when Chase went down. But now that Keith stepped up, and we haven't got to watch the film yet, but he seemed confident in everything, and we're going to need him depending on how, what happens with Wes. So I think it's huge for guys to be able to step up and be able to still be productive. That's what the NFL is about, in my opinion.
Terry McLaurin had 4 catches for 51 yards to lead the Washington football team last night. He joins us on Grant and Danny. How do you view a game like last night? 79 plays might as well be a million, right? Time of possession dominance that the team has not had since 1990, Terry. Literally. I mean, it's that long since you guys possessed the ball as much as you did yesterday. But you only ended up with the 17 points. And so that's got to be frustrating, too, because there are opportunities there that maybe didn't quite come to fruition. How do you feel, big picture, looking at the whole outcome?
Oh, I think we're happy that we won first and foremost. So it allows us to kind of, you know, the feeling of that is not as intense as if you lost. So, but we still know we got to finish, you know, drives better. I think, you know, we did a good job of scoring in the red zone at times, and at times we just didn't quite finish. But I think, you know, they were good defense. We knew that going in the red zone, the scoring areas, when they got to have a situation, that wasn't on our scouting report. We knew that when they needed to get stops, they did a good job of doing that. So you got to credit them in that aspect, but we got to continue just improve to make sure we can try to finish as many drives as possible with touchdowns.
Terry McLaurin with us here on Grant and Danny. So, Terry, once Joey Sly gets hurt, is there communication like, okay, guys, every fourth down, we're going? Because that's how the game ends up playing out. Obviously, punt situations, you're punting. But when normally it would be, let's line up for a field goal, you guys went for it a couple different times over and were successful there mostly. Is that something that gets communicated internally where you guys know you're going to pretty much be going for it every fourth?
Yeah, when, you know, we found out that he was down kind of at halftime, we were just knew we were going to have to go for two for the rest of the game, and it was kind of four down territory. So, you know, I think we did a good job of adapting, and, you know, when we had to get the two-point conversion this week, we got it.
Terry McLaurin on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Terry, could you have made the 21-yard field goal? Rivera comes to you and says, hey, you're our best athlete. Can you go out there and kick a 21-yarder? What would you have said?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe if I got a little training. But those guys make it look a lot easier than it probably is. So, in the moment, I don't think I probably would have made that kick.
But don't you remember Chad Ochocinco would have been good from like 50? Like, that dude just buried it between the uprights.
Yeah, but I think he has a soccer background as well, and he's really good with his feet. He's probably got some of the swiftest feet, you know, at play wide receiver, and then to be able to kick footballs like he can too and soccer ball, that's pretty impressive.
It's very impressive. So then I'm a big dummy. So my argument is greatest athletes on the planet. You got 53 of them on the sidelines. Somebody can make that kick. It's basically a snap from the goal line. It's 21 yards. It's like what they have fans do when they bring them out at halftime. You're saying there's a good chance no one could have done that with confidence in a game, like gotten it over the line and hit it.
The receivers kind of mess around because Curtis swears that he can hit field goals, and we've been waiting all season to see if he could try one after practice or something. You know, now that he's back, but he punted in college. I mean, in high school, but that's kind of just a joke that we had. But I don't personally think I could have hit it.
I think you could have. You know you better than I do. I think you could have. And I don't want Curtis Sable doing anything where he has to swing his leg. By the way,
seriously, we got to keep Curtis safe, man.
Let's keep him as far away from kicking as possible.
Well, he was celebrating. Terry, jokes aside, he was celebrating that catch. I'm going, just calm down, Curtis. Calm down, buddy. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
Nah, man. I think he's just happy to be back out there. I think just the genuine emotion. It was good to see him, you know, make a few plays for us. So, you know, hopefully, it's just good that he got to be able to get through this game clean and continue to build and become even more involved in our offense.
Yeah, no kidding. Having him would certainly help. Hey, take me through that one play down the sideline, that deep ball. I thought you got interfered with, and that kind of messed up everything about that mechanism, and there was no call on that play. That, you know, the deep pass I'm talking about that you end up not coming down with? What happened there?
Right. There was some grabbing. Kind of at the end, he turned me. I had my eyes on the ball, and he kind of turned me at the end, so I couldn't locate the ball at the last moment when I was trying to track it in. But, you know, that happens. Sometimes you don't necessarily get the call and you move on. It is what it is.
Terry McLaurin joins us every Monday at 4 o'clock after games. Make sure you're with us next Monday after the Las Vegas matchup today because they played Monday Night Football. He joins us on Tuesday exclusively here on Grant and Danny. There was a time a few weeks ago when we were asking you about your confidence in Taylor Heinicke and whether or not a quarterback change could be coming. 3 games later, he's got the 3rd highest quarterback rating and the 3rd highest completion percentage in football, and he's turned the ball over just once in that stretch. He's been balling. What have you seen from your QB during this winning streak?
You know, like I've been seeing throughout this whole season, just behind closed doors, is just the way he comes to work each and every day, the accountability he takes for himself, the leader that he's grown into for our offense, and he continues to try to get better. Like I said, I think he's been doing a, you know, a great job of taking care of the ball and taking what the defense gives them, and then, you know, hitting plays down the field when we need to. So, you know, it's great the way that he's playing right now, I think. And his mobility, I think, is really a strength of ours. The way he keeps plays alive, the way he's ducking and dodging, you know, potential defenders is really dope, too. I think it's a unique skill set.
What about Logan Thomas coming back? It seems like a huge lift just to maybe take some of the eyes off you, some of the pressure off of you a little bit, that middle of the field type weapon. He looked good last night moving around.
Yeah. Logan's a professional, and you know, when he was itching to get back, and you know, he had a good week of practice, in my opinion, and it's good to have that red zone threat and just that guy over the middle who's consistent, and we trust him in one-on-one matchups too. So it was good to see him back out there, and it was definitely a lift for our offense, I feel like.
Hey, Terry, I'm loving this David Goliath stone-throwing thing that Ron Rivera's got working after games. I think it's great. I've always liked when coaches do things like that. A lot of people will say, oh, these are professional athletes. Like, they don't need skits and bits or what have you. It seems like you guys in the locker room are getting a kick out of this and really enjoying it too. Give us an idea of what that's done to just kind of elevate the group, because it seems like someone throwing the stone against the wall after these wins has been a big deal.
Yeah, I just think it's fun winning, and I think it's fun the way we're winning. You know, I think we're playing good complementary football. I feel like, you know, starting with the weeks of practices we've had, offense, you know, I think on our Fast Friday this week, a ball didn't touch the ground. And, you know, that's kind of just the standard we want to have. And defensive, we're practicing well, fitting well in their gaps, and trying to create turnovers. So practice has been, you know, one of the major things that I think has really helped us going into the week. And, you know, I just feel like we're continually getting better and just trying to take it day by day and game by game.
Terry, scary moment last night when J.D. McKissic went down. He has tweeted that he's, you know, A-OK, and, you know, hopefully he'll be back soon. And that was obviously just really scary. I just think that's got to be one of the hardest things when the rhythm of the game has to stop. Obviously, you're so concerned for your teammate, your friend, et cetera. But okay, then they go, okay, now we're playing again. And here comes the major, huge, you know, fourth down type moment for you guys right after he leaves. How do you just sort of move on? How do you just go on to the next thing when obviously your thoughts are probably with your good buddy?
Of course, yeah. JD had it was a big reason why we were up in that game yesterday, just the way he was playing and amongst the other running backs. But, you know, he's a weapon for our team, and it was kind of cool to be able to see him do that against, you know, a former team of his, and especially on that stage. But, you know, at the same time, I think, and he would agree if it was somebody else, is just you got to try to compartmentalize and be ready for that next play in that next moment. You know what I mean? You know, obviously our thoughts are always going to still be with the guys that go down, but you know, you still got to be able to try to win the game. And I feel like, you know, we did a good job of having a plan going in, because for people, you know, there's a lot going on, and then you got to get the play call, and you got to get lined up, and you got to know the situation and all that thing. So there's a lot going on. So I think we did a good job of, you know, rallying after that and trying to make that play.
So, Terry, the game ends last night close to midnight. Do you drive yourself to and from the stadium? Like, did you drive home after, or are you on a bus somewhere? How does that work?
Yeah, I drive.
Okay. So then you drive home, and you guys play at FedEx, and you live out by Ashburn, so that's a hike. What time did you end up getting home last night?
You know, I talked to my family a little bit after the game in the family parking lot that we have. And then I probably got home about close to 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Wow. And
around
then,
there.
So how much did you sleep in? What time did you wake up? What's today been like?
You know, my body clock is still during our regular week, so it's hard for me to really sleep in that late. So I probably slept in to about 10:30 or so. And then I've kind of just been really hanging out for the most part, just trying to, you know, get my body ready for a short week.
What's the schedule like in terms of that? Just when that short week, I think, is underrated in terms of how much an impact it can have, because you get into such a rhythm and routine over the course of a season. How difficult is that, just because it's now kind of thrown off?
Yeah, I mean, your routine's a little thrown off. Obviously, having a short week playing on Monday night, you know, obviously with any NFL football game, it's a physical game. I know our running backs are probably even more sore than I am, you know what I mean? And the whole line and everything. So it's just about trying to get your legs back under you. I think, you know, our staff is going to try to do the best job they can to make sure we're good physically, but also making sure we still get good reps this week and get ready to go out against Vegas and try to get a win on the road.
I can't even imagine what Antonio Gibson feels like when he wakes up today. That dude touched the ball 36 times yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, we talk a lot, and you know, I have a lot of respect for running backs because they take a lot of hits, man. Some games I'm a little banged up, but for the most part I'm pretty clean. So, but I think our backs they invite that. I think they try to. They're always constantly working on their bodies when I see them in the facility, so they're ready to take that load on Sundays.
You kind of referenced this a little bit earlier, Terry. There wasn't as if like there was one speech or something about this is our identity now. But for just fans like us, as we're watching this thing, this looks like a different team there since the bye week. Have you noticed any kind of change maybe in the staff, whether that's Scott Turner, whether that's Ron Rivera and company, just whether it's messaging or just some of the stuff you guys have worked on? Because it's been night and day since the bye week. It's just a physical, accountable, tough together football team here these last 3 weeks.
I mean, I think going down the stretch of the season, you want to be, playing your best football. And, we've had some ups and downs in the first half of our season, but we still felt like, especially, with division games ahead after this week, we still kind of have some things in our control, but we got control what we can, which is how we were practicing, how we were studying and preparing for these games and how we perform on Sunday. So we can't really control what other teams do or what else is going on around us, but I think we've really all just tried to control what we can control individually and as a collective unit.
Terry, you guys are going out to Vegas for the first time ever to play the Raiders since they've relocated. I'm excited. I'm going to make the trip because I want to go see that stadium.
Nice.
But Saturday, what's it normally? Do you guys get to go out and have dinner, or is it still weird because of COVID? Like, what's that like? Will you actually be able to enjoy Vegas for a couple hours and then turn in for curfew? Like, what's the travel normally work out like?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Sometimes when you go on a West Coast trip, you kind of leave a day early, so maybe on Friday versus Saturdays. But we haven't been in the building because we're off today, so we'll find out the schedule tomorrow. But usually when you get there, you have a little free time before meetings. And for the vaccinated guys, they could go out and have dinner or, go to the mall or whatever. So it's kind of nice to kind of have that little bit of freedom when you're on the road to be able to kind of just decompress before you kind of try to get locked in.
All right, I got to ask you this. You knew this was coming. We were talking last week quite a bit about Ohio State and Michigan. Now, I was wrong.
We were wrong, buddy.
I told you had nothing to worry about.
Really sorry.
You should follow Khalik Hudson all over the building. Now, last we heard, he was ducking you. He was dodging you. He didn't want to take any bets. I hope that's still the case. Did you guys end up making a bet?
Yeah, we did.
Oh,
we
no.
He came in Saturday pretty confident, like not like arrogant confident, but he was like, I made a few calls and the guys are sounding confident. So he was like, what are you trying to do? And I was like, what? Well, loser, has to wear the other's gear. And, we weren't going in Khalik cool. Like, we got love for each other, being teammates. So we weren't going to have it be all on social media, but since my guys lost, he had a Khalik Hudson Team Up North. Yeah, I'm still calling it Team Up North. He had a Team Up North shirt that I wore at the facility at the team hotel before the game this week. So thank God I got to take off that terrible blue, but that's a tough one. We'll be back better next year.
Does it sting the skin a little bit? You could feel it, right? You break out into a rash?
Yeah, man. I don't like to have that blue on me. That whole day it was ironic because I was wearing all navy blue and dudes was like, dang, you just got into the whole ensemble. I'm like, shoot, if I'm going to do it, at least I got to look good doing it as best I can. So, Cheese didn't want to take a bet, but, he was still bragging a little bit. But
well, if he didn't take a bet, he's not allowed to brag.
Yeah, it's the first time since he was in middle school. You shouldn't be puffing your chest out.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's tough, but you got to let them have it. They beat us, so, you got to honor your bet and keep it pushing. Get better for next year.
I'm impressed that you guys didn't have it on social media, though. Like, that's a nice little gentleman's agreement because normally, Khalik wants his attention dollars. He's going to post you on Instagram or whatever. But you guys agreed to that little handshake style beforehand?
Yeah. It was really more so a verbal thing. Like I said, when you have two stand-up people making a bet, you honor that bet. So You know, I knew he would come through. I'm not going to bet somebody I don't think is going to come through. So I knew he would come through if we lost, and I think he knew I would come through if we lost. So it was a good bet all around, but I'm glad to be out that blue.
Just remind him, I think it's two times in the last 18 years or whatever now
that they pulled him. The thing is, what I respect is, you know, his class, and when he was there, he was able to kind of – they went through the tough years, and now the guys are reaping the benefits of that. My years, you know, I got 5 gold pans. I never lost to those guys, but that's still my school, so it still hurts a little bit.
Dude, I'm sorry about that one part of your weekend, but everything else was awesome, man. Thank you. Three straight weeks. Yeah, always love talking to you, buddy. Keep it up.
I appreciate you guys. I'll catch you next week.
Sounds good, bud.
There's Terry McLaurin on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. We'll get an update on what weird thing Ryan said to him before the interview and get Darius's impression of that, as we always like to do. We can do that next. But I asked McLaurin about the Rivera stone-throwing thing, and I want to play that audio next and go through what he's been doing after games, because I think this is a really cool deal that they've kind of built. They're doing their David versus Goliath routine in the locker room, and I think Rivera's got something good cooking here. We'll talk about that next. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Joining us as always on Grant and Danny, you are listening to The Fan. 800-636-1067. You want to react to yesterday's win? Get to a couple of you in just a moment who have been waiting patiently. Victory Tuesdays are rare. They are presented by Chenega Miles. Visit MIOScareers.com. View open positions and apply today. I heard Ron Rivera on with the Junkies today. I thought he was fantastic. If you missed the interview, you should podcast it when we're done. But one of the things, in addition to breaking news that Joey Sly was going to be out for 3 games and have to be signing a kicker, that Rivera said that really caught my attention today was he went in depth on how he came up with and how his David Goliath metaphor started, and it's still carried over 3 weeks later now to having Taylor Heinicke throw a stone at the dry erase board in the locker room last night. But this was, first you'll hear Rivera with his team after the game, starting with Heinicke throwing the stone, and then him telling the Junkies how this all came about. I thought this was really cool.
Everything we need is in this room. Everybody in this room we need. We've got to work together, stay together, and be the team that we can be. We will not take it from anybody. I don't give a shit how they stack it against us. We're whipping. Now let's play football. Here we go. Team on 3. 1, 2, 3. Team!
What I did getting ready for Tampa Bay was, you know, and trying to find ways to motivate our guys and stuff like that. I started that Monday off by saying to the guys, any of y'all ever heard the story of David and Goliath? And they all, yeah. I said, just remember, Goliath was a 7-point favorite. Okay? And then I said, so then on Wednesday, I came back and I said to the guys, I said, just so you know, in David's post-game interview, they asked him, how did he defeat the giant Goliath? He said he was too big to miss. And then I told the guys, just remember, fellas, for every giant, there's a stone. You got to throw your stone. And so I carried a stone with me. And after that, after we beat Tampa, you know, they started chanting, throw the stone. So I threw the stone up against the whiteboard.
Yeah.
Last week in Carolina, I threw the stone again. Against the whiteboard. See, we have this whiteboard that has all the times and everything for the players so they know what's happening in terms of when they got to be out for all that. So we have one here in our locker room again. And last week I threw my arm out. So they wanted me to throw it. And, you know, so Sheriff is screaming at me to throw it. And I told him, I'll throw it when I'm damn ready, all right? So I said, let's take a knee and say the prayer. So we said our prayer afterwards. And then I was looking, and Taylor was standing in front of me. I said, hey, why don't we have a pro do it? And I threw him the stone. Well, he threw it up against the whiteboard, and the guys just went nuts. And, it's the energy. Like I said, the energy right now is very positive.
That's what happens when you win 3 in a row. You heard what McLaurin said about that. He's like, I think it's fun to win. My point was, you guys, that's resonating with you guys. And it is. You can watch the video.
Right,
you see everyone's faces. But he said it's really fun to win. And just listen to the difference in town, from fans, from calls, from how us in the media feel. I mean, you win three straight games. We were doing shows where they had gone a month and a half without winning a football game. Now we're doing shows where we're going to have spanned almost a full calendar month without a loss.
Yeah, all of November, no losses.
Well, in fact, you had the bye week, too, built in. So, I mean, it's going to, when you go 5-6 weeks without a loss, it's the whole tone changes. It's just a breath of fresh air. But I do love, he didn't like that one of the junkies called it a bit. It's not a bit. But it's a David versus Goliath theme, I guess, if it's not a bit.
Yeah, I don't know what you're supposed to call it. But
I love it. And you know me, I'm in on this kind of coaching thing. Whatever that is, all in. Sign me up.
It's, you know, it's not the cause, but when it's the result, when you give kind of a little thing, you know, a little carrot at the end. I mean, I can't help but think of Hoosiers, right? Before the state championship game, Preacher Pearl, and David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and slung it, and it struck the Philistine on the head. And he fell to the ground. Amen. And they go win the state championship.
Yeah.
I can't help but think of it. But it's the coaching message or the belief to get everybody pulling the rope in the same direction. Once that happens on a team, it's powerful. It just is. You're better than the sum of your parts. You're better than, you know, a borderline starter backup quarterback thrown to only one receiver that other teams would want to have. You're better than not having two defensive ends that any that would start for any other team. You're better than having, you know, questions in the secondary. You all of a sudden become, just again, to go through the cliche, better than the sum of your parts. And that's what's happening right now. They've won three straight games. Maybe maybe if you replay them, maybe they wouldn't have won those games against Carolina. It could have gone the other way. Last night could have gone the other way. But here they are. They now have that belief, and it's powerful.
Let's go to Lucas in Leesburg on Grant and Danny on the Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. What's up, Lucas?
I'm still bitter from what you said for the Terry McLaurin interview, and I'm not going to forget it. I've been on hold for 55 minutes just because I needed to address you about this. I usually side with Danny with all this stuff because he's, you know, I still side with Danny with this, but this is bad. You cannot assess how bad FedEx Field is because you've always been there with the press pass. You've always been there as a guy who gets there early, who gets there padded. You don't see the nitty gritty. You're not paying.
And what comment are you referencing?
You said that FedEx Field is like almost forgivable because it leaks pee on people and it's
I didn't say it was forgivable. I said last night, for me, I was more interested in the football game than the leaking thing everyone was making their jokes about. It's a terrible stadium.
I mean, the jokes.
I've said that for a long time.
The jokes are still there, but the tone with which you said it was almost like it was okay because of the wins. You almost for
because
a second
they don't
forgave.
Win. What are you talking about? They never win because they won last night.
Well, exactly. No, for the three wins in a row, I think you get stoked. You get stoked and you forgive. You throw everything else under the table. It's forgivable when they're winning. But what do we talk about when they're losing five in a row?
No,
talk about they're losing five in a row and getting peed on.
Well, no one's getting peed on.
Thousands of dollars.
Let's start with that.
Oh, they're getting peed on. That was a sewage pipe leak.
Last night?
That was a sewage pipe leak.
How do you know that? Every person who has done any reporting on it has said it was sprinklers.
The sprinklers? So they can't pressure test their sprinklers like everybody else does every year?
I would assume they did. Isn't that what you have to do to have people in a building is to go through a checklist and have to be approved?
So then why are they breaking in the middle of the game?
I have no idea. I don't know enough about sprinklers.
Because they're flushing sewage in the middle of the game. It's not a sprinkler line. That's what they want to tell you. It's totally a sewage line. They don't presage test the sewage. I'm telling you, that place is a total dump. And
I agree. It's a crappy stadium. I disagree with you if you think that was sewage. If it was, then that would be news. But I'll wait for someone to actually like say that other than you seeing it on TV and assuming it was sewage.
Okay. Well, I'm saying they pressure test sprinklers, and it definitely wasn't a sprinkler line. Because
so no sprinklers have ever just accidentally gone off anywhere because they got pressure tested. That just
in the middle
happen.
Of a game? Are you kidding me?
In the middle of a game or not during a game? That doesn't happen anywhere?
How many toilets flush during the middle of a game, and how many sprinklers get set off in
Bro,
the middle of
I don't know. I'm not a plumber. I have no idea how that works.
Exactly. What kind of fluid do you think it was?
I think it was the sprinklers.
Would you still spend thousands of dollars on season tickets to be there if you're getting sprinkled on?
I do. My wife has season tickets. We pay. You tell me I don't pay anything because I'm a big fat press box guy. I write a check every year for season tickets.
I gave up my season tickets after over 11 years because of how trashy the experience is, and they haven't done an iota to fix it.
Bro, I don't have any problem with that. By the way, I stroke a check for season tickets every year. All I do is go to the press box.
Well, I'm saying if your experience has been cushy mushy, then you're not going to be able to just tailgate and grind it out with your regular fans, man. What I'm telling you is you're not the guy who's getting sprinkled on when you're leaving.
I agree.
If
I was getting sprinkled on, I would be upset.
Well, do you think the rest of the fans are kind of upset with mediocre play and the fact that we're in the budding stock of the league and now we run off, three games and then we're all sort of high and mighty on ourselves because we beat three kind of mediocre teams?
I don't understand what do you think I think? That they've arrived and they're headed to the Super Bowl? I don't get anything this call.
I think you're so quick to forgive. My problem with you is that Danny actually has a callus and you're quick to forgive everything because we get three rosy wins.
What have I forgiven? I think Ron Rivera as a GM has not done a good job. I think they've won three games in a row. Normally, I'm a hater for 4.5 hours. Today, they just won a game on Monday Night Football. We're talking about it and I'm forgiving them. What do you want me to do, every segment, to remind people that they're still under 500? What are you looking for?
No, what I'm looking for is a little bit of honesty during that last little pandering between you and Danny when he's actually giving you a reasonable perspective is they have still not addressed the billion-dollar issue that they have to move houses. They have not fixed
They're not moving the stadium until 2027. They're going to be there.
They're going
it's
to be
old,
there.
It's an old, gross, dilapidated, awful stadium. I expect leaks to happen. I expect terrible things to happen, like happened at the Gross Stadium out in Oakland.
What other teams regularly get leaks from their fans during Monday night? Oh, whenever. That
Oakland. Oakland has sewage back up all the time. Guess what? They left Oakland.
So the Raiders did. But
correct.
That's the Raiders, and we're still there.
What? I don't understand what you're talking about. Like, what you think they should go to Nashville?
No, I think you should actually just hold them accountable for the fact that they have a terrible stadium every now and again.
I have said they have a terrible stadium for 20 years. No one knows that better than me. I go to the game every Sunday. I've missed four games since 99. I'm well aware of how terrible the stadium is.
Well, it seems like you're really forgiving it in lieu of a nice Monday night win that they haven't had in 7 years.
Lucas, I have no idea what you're talking about. Thank you for the phone call.
Oh, okay.
Appreciate you. What was that?
I don't understand.
I crazy?
Somewhere in there, he was on my side, but I don't know what my side was. I really wanted to understand. I was genuinely listening.
He was annoyed because I said, I personally am not that interested that when everyone during a Monday Night Football game, while like a drive is happening, is firing off jokes about a sprinkler, that doesn't interest me. I don't care. Now, if I was in the suite, I would be really, really pissed off. Clearly, I wasn't in the suite. To my knowledge, nobody got wet. They got moved. Hopefully it all worked out.
For a while, though, there was a sewage conspiracy in there, and then we went away from that. Then he was I don't understand. Very confused. I'm sorry.
They've won three games in a row. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Should I have spent the last 2 hours talking about that or the win last night? They've won three games in a row. They're under 500. I'm not saying anything other than that they've won three games in a row and that during that stretch, their defense has been really good. Their running game has been very effective. They found an identity. I'm missing how he's acting like, I guess if they lost last night, his point is that I'd be mad about the leak or something.
I don't know. I actually do happen to think they're going to make the playoffs, by the way. I think it's happening again. I think we're on this magic carpet ride with horseshoes up to Tukas, and we just gave away half a season, but now they know who they are, and they're just going to end up there as the 7th seed. But that's either here nor there. I was very confused by that.
I just didn't understand his argument. The part I take offense to, and I don't mean to get frustrated, but is this idea that my wife is a season ticket holder. We pay for those tickets. I am, and I'm not trying to do like a tough guy, like I'm awesome bit. To my knowledge, the only person who has a radio show in this town who goes to every home game, I don't have to, who does tailgate, by the way. Now, I like to go into the game and do my work, but I have friends and family who tailgate. Greenlot D7, he comes to say hello. But you just can't comment on this. You're not one of us. I'm quite frankly the only person who does this job who probably is ultra qualified to talk about the experience at FedEx Field. There might be others who go there occasionally. And I'm not saying that they're not qualified. But come on now. because I sit in the press box, because I have a job in the media, I'm not supposed to talk about the fan experience, right? I don't know about that. My wife's got gripes with that stadium longer than Cinderella's to-do list, bro. I hear about him every Sunday night for an hour and a half when we get home, okay? My wife didn't go to the game Monday night because she's fed up and furious with the last experience she had that she's been emailing people about. But I'm sure I don't understand what fans go through. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan.
When you work hard and the guys do the things that we ask and it starts to come, then you see it because of that, because of what we've done. I don't think there's a real magic formula as much. It's just about working hard. I mean, if you watch the way they practice, you know, I know you guys can't, but if you saw it, you know, it's impressive. It really is. I've had, when we've had the production crews that come and they watch practice, they watch the Friday practice and they go, God, you guys are, you know, regiment. Well, that's what I learned from Andy Reid. I mean, you know, Friday is an important day and we got to practice the right way, and the guys do that. And we've done it all year, you know, and now I think we're starting to see it come together.
It's definitely coming together. Ron Rivera's clubs won 3 in a row. They've got themselves up to 5-6 with a chance at a winning season if they can handle themselves against the division in the final 5 weeks. Next up, the Raiders. How weird is it, Danny? They got 6 games to go, and they are playing their last non-NFC East game on Sunday in Vegas.
Utterly bizarre. Everything about that sentence, by the way, utterly bizarre.
Yeah.
Because of this weird back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back NFC East thing to close the season, and the fact that there's football in Vegas, and it's not a weird one-off because there was smog or like a forest fire. Like, this is now where the team is. Everything's weird.
I remember hearing, and I don't remember who told me this, but the Washington schedule at the end of the year is a trial run in some way for this idea that the league has of almost like an end-of-season tournament where it's all division games for several weeks because it'll make the early and middle part of the seasons not necessarily less meaningful, but less a determinant on your year, because you can always kind of look to the end of the year and say, oh, we play them twice, we can make up ground. So it's working. I mean, it's definitely added some interest, some drama, some attention. And the Washington football team and the NFC East, they're not the only one in the division that has all the games stacked up here at the end,
right,
are kind of a trial balloon in some way, supposedly.
So I said this at the top of the season when we're talking about prognostication for the year, and I had no idea they'd get there this way, okay? But my point was, if this is going to be successful through this buzzsaw part of the schedule, which they've now are coming to the end of, you tread water. Maybe you win a game you shouldn't. Maybe you know, kind of hold your own and some of these coin toss games go your way, whatever. But if you're around 500, you got a chance to do something special there at the end. If you're 6-6 or 6-7 heading into the last few, well, they've gotten there. It took the weirdest path ever, where they were garbage for 8 games and then now have ripped off 3 straight wins, one against a really good opponent in Tampa Bay. So they got there in a weird way, but here they are. They treaded water through the difficult portion, and now they got a chance to do something here in the NFC.
They dominated play almost all night long, and they won by 2 points.
Yeah,
on a failed 2-point conversion attempt with 15 seconds to go. By the way, I could check another thing off the bingo card just like you can, Danny, having watched a blocked kick return for 2 points. Remember a few weeks ago,
yes,
Ron Rivera had the 2-point conversion kneel because they didn't want an extra point block because it could get returned and it would have tied the game or whatever.
And I was like, how? That never happens. Why would you even? Oh, okay.
I guess it was a 10-point, but it would have made it a 1-possession game, and then they get the ball back. And a couple weeks later, it plays out. There we go. 2 points on the blocked kick. But if you're just joining us today, if you don't know the news, so Joey Sly has been placed on injured reserve. He's going to miss at least 3 games, according to Rivera, with the Junkies today. Washington has gone and signed former Saints and Bears kicker Brian Johnson, who went to Virginia Tech, who was born in D.C. What D.C. high school did he go to?
Gonzaga College High School in Washington,
really?
D.C., yes.
Attaboy.
Right there on North Capitol.
You know what hasn't been talked about on that blocked kick?
Hmm.
Our guy, Cheese Man.
The Cheese?
Bad snap.
A little high?
I don't like bad snaps.
I don't either.
If I draft you and you're a long snapper, which should never happen.
It should never happen.
Here should be how that meeting goes. We're sitting in the meeting room. It's a big boardroom. Everyone's in a suit. It's draft night. Someone says, I got an idea. And you go, okay, what is your idea? And they go, long snapper, Cameron Cheeseman. Before they tell you what college he's at, you say, that's a bad idea. Anybody else have an idea? They go, no, listen, this guy's really good. And I say, uh-uh. Does anyone have a wide receiver from a directional school somewhere that they like? Does anyone have a linebacker who played college football? Draft that guy instead. But anyway, not a great snap from Cheese Man. Not why it got blocked, I don't think. The whole blocking
was a little penetration thing, yeah.
But still, just a thing. It probably should be mentioned at some point. Our buddy Chris in Hyattsville is waiting. What's up, Chris?
Darius, if you don't mind.
Wait, is this a big...
Oh, yeah.
They worked something out.
Oh, wow. This is big time. This is the first ever
There's no precedent for this.
A caller has his own bit done with our producers.
You guys orchestrated this whole thing?
Is this the right track? Yeah. It's supposed to be the Quad City DJs.
Oh, it sounds like
you botched. I'm the conductor. I'm the conductor of the train, of the Heineke Hype train, which is going all the way to Los Angeles, baby, in February 2022.
That was the song you tagged me in.
Oh, I messed it up. I botched it.
Oh, come on, Chris.
We had a sabotage on the show, Chris, and you botch it.
You Plaxico burst that thing.
Bit. All right, but listen. By the way, can I talk to Rick Paulson? Man, you just got really upset at that dude.
Yeah, it was a weird call.
Okay. Well, a couple of things I have notes from the game.
Do this. I want you to call back and start your bit over. Get with Darius, get the right song, and then call back in.
Okay.
All right. I'll get you on the line quick. Don't worry. We'll do it next segment. You waited too long to screw up your bit. So why don't you guys get on the same page?
Yeah, seriously.
Like Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf last night.
Guess you have a look at the little Microsoft Surface and figure out how to throw 14 the ball.
Daphne's in Waldorf on G&D. What's up, Daphne?
Hey, I'm just calling to apologize to you for Lucas. That was really, really weird.
Oh, you don't need
and
to
you
apologize.
You have more patience. No. I'm just being... Actually, I'm trying to be funny, but...
You are ridiculous. No, I appreciate
you. I mean, literally. You have more patience than Job. I would have hung up like 2 seconds in.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thanks, Daphne.
Yeah, there's no need to apologize. It's a happy day for me. It's a victory Monday. Or Tuesday, which is
Tuesday.
Happens even less. Kyle's in Shadyside. What's up, Kyle?
How's it going, man? Everybody wants to talk about that caller. But I was kind of getting a little bit irritated by the stadium bits today. You know, I listen to all three shows whenever I can. You know, we work every day and just, you know, sort of have everything on Odyssey or whatever. But it was an amazing win. It just seems like we're on that sort of trajectory again where, you know, we finally clicked. Everything's going good. Heineke sort of found a happy medium between just being him and making safe plays. We're running the ball like crazy. We just physically dominated them. But I did want to talk about that guy. It's kind of comical that he's like, well, everything needs to be pressure treated for sprinklers. I know sprinklers. Trust me, I've worked in 25 buildings, especially around D.C. I'm in a local 26 for electrical. I've had a west side and a east side of a building completely drenched 4 floors deep from sprinklers. Sprinklers bust all the time. You know, that's child's play. But either way, I mean, it doesn't matter about the stadium. That's fine. If you don't like it, don't go. But enjoy the 3-game win streak. We don't need to be petty. We don't need to be angry. I mean, like, it was an odd, adversity-filled game. We threw a pick, and then we got a fumble, and then we scored, and then they ran the kickback, and then we were finally good, and then the kicker injured himself. It was just a whole thing, but we persevered through it. We pushed through. We converted fourth downs.
It felt, Kyle, like they were going to lose, and there are years where maybe that two-point conversion gets converted, and then they go to overtime, and somehow they lose, and they didn't. They get credit for that. I see people want to line up to talk about the last call. I don't want to talk about that. They won yesterday. There's football to discuss. Antonio Gibson carried the ball 29 times and had 36 touches. Kendall Fuller had a big interception. The Washington football team beat Seattle and made Russell Wilson look like he is an XFL quarterback. Let's talk about that.
How bad did he look for most of that game? That final drive, he did Russell Wilson stuff, and he had a couple of those throws. But remember the first drive of the game for them? Gerald Everett's wide open by 10 yards. And he just sort of threw it into the stands. It doesn't look right.
Let's do this next on Grant and Danny. Kick off our 5 o'clock hour. We'll take you up to about 6:45 or so tonight. Who should we give the most credit to the turnaround? 800-636-1067 if you want to join us on the Gambit DC listener lines. 3 wins in a row. Still 6 games left. And Vegas would be probably the second most difficult of the 4 opponents if they were to count the last 3 games in Vegas as a 4-game quarter here. So it would be a more impressive win than Carolina quarterbackless or than the home win against Seattle was with a broken offense that you're playing last night. But they have turned this thing around. It looks different these last 3 weeks. Why and how? 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.